to be grateful to Rabbi Chaya Wallerstein, to Lashela Perlman, to all the officers of Or Nava for inviting me to come to speak to all of you on this special night. It's a great cover to be able to speak on the same program with Rabbi Mansour and Rabbi Wallerstein. And I hope that tonight will bring a night of Kiddush and Shemayim and inspiration for every single one of us. One of the most powerful moments on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and every shul in the world is that moment right after when we say Unasana Toikev. Many people are crying when they say the words Mi Yichya or Mi Yomos. Who will live and who will die? Mi Yanuah, who will rest? Mi Yanuah, who will be destined to wander? Mi Yishokeit, who's going to live a life of serenity? Mi Yitareif, who will live a life Nebuch of distraught? Mi Yishofel, who will be degraded? Mi Yarom, and who will be elevated? And then we cry out three words: Tshuva, Tfila, and Tzedaka. We all say Mavirin Esroya Habzera. All of us know tshuva means repentance, tefillah is prayer, tzedakah is charity. Mavirin esroya habzera, that will remove the evil of the decree. But it occurred to me that perhaps we could look at tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah in an unusual, in a different way. Tshuva is inward, tefillah is upward, and tzedakah is outward. And that's what I'd like to talk about tonight. Those three dimensions that we have to involve ourselves in so that we should be able to be zeicha to have the ABCs of life, to feel a sense of accomplishment, to be destined to bracha, and to feel contentment. And if we can only learn tonight what it means to connect our HaKadosh Baruch Hu inward, upward and outward, hopefully we can be zeicha this year and for the rest of our lives to feel a sense of accomplishment, to be zeicha to bracha, and to have contentment. We look around all over the world, you read the papers, you hear the media, and we're all so frantically worried. Everybody's worried about Eretz Yisrael. In the last couple of weeks, everybody's worried about the financial situation all over the world. We hear about so many young people sick, so many almanas, so many young people dying, kids at risk, the shidduchim problem. How do we cope with all these struggles? How do we manage with all these shirekmecha frustrations? And I want to share with you a beautiful letter. A letter that the Imre Emes, the Gedder Rebbe, wrote when he came from Poland. And he came, he was saved, he was able to come to Eretz Yisrael. And after the war, after the shrek of terrible things that happened in the Holocaust, Gerev Sidon went over to the Rebbe and they said, Rebbe, perhaps you could write a letter of chizuk to all your people. And the Rebbe wrote a letter, and in it he quotes a pasuk that we have said 1,000 times. But listen to how the Rebbe touched it. He started out his letter by saying, to all the brothers in Klal Yisrael who have been spared from the sword, in whatever place you may be, the Rebbeinu Shlomo should be with you. And then he says, people of Hashem should always be strong. And then he says this pasuk, Vayhi erev, vayhi voker, yom echad. We all know that that's right in the beginning of the Torah, when the Torah is describing the first evening, the first morning, Yom Echad was one day. But the Rebbe types, we know that Erev can mean when things are dark, when things are troublesome. Vayhi Erev, we find in many families that there's Erev, there's Fitzdanish, there's darkness, there's troubles. And then in the same family, with the same community, on the same block, Vayhi Voiker, there's light, there's nachas, there's joy, there's finances. Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voiker, the Yid has to know Yom Echad. It all comes from that source of light, which is the Rebbeinu Shlomo himself. Yom Echad is there to illuminate us, to teach us. And that's what we have to understand, that everything that happens happens only because the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants it to happen. And soon we ask ourselves, why me? So many people who go through tzoras, they say, I'm just as good as anybody else. I'm as good as my sister. I'm as good as my brother. I'm as good as the person down the block, the person in shul. Why are all these things happening to me? As a matter of fact, we all know that Eeyah suffered tremendous tzoras. And I want to share with you a Gemara that unless the Gemara would say it, you wouldn't even be able to say it out of your mouth. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Tezayin Omen Aleph, Eeyah said to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, Shema Ruach Sa'ara Avra Lefanecha? Maybe there was like a whirlwind and you got mixed up? V'neschalev and you got mixed up? And Eeyah Ho'oyev? My name's not Oyev. I'm not your enemy. I'm not your adversary. How can you do all this stuff to me? My name's Eeyah, not Oyev. So Eeyah, when he was down, he also asked these questions, why me? Why the Eibushter is doing it to him? So I want to share with you a painful story. A painful story that happened in my neighborhood in Kew Gardens a number of years ago in 1996. It was the day before Shemos of the Thomas was on Shabbos. Shemos of the Thomas was on Sunday. And on that Shabbos, there was a shrek of fire in the home of the Silverblights. Menashe Silverblight Nebach lost a child. He lost his daughter. Chana Bela passed away right away. Chana Bela's grandmother also died in the fire. And Masha Miriam, Chana Bela's younger sister, was burned severely. I remember I went to visit her in the Cornell burn unit in the hospital in Manhattan. And the poor girl, she suffered so terribly until Cholamoid Sukkos when she finally passed away. Cholamoid Sukkos, we all went to Levaya. Cholamoid Sukkos, you're not allowed to say a hesped, but believe me, when you walk into that funeral home and you see them bringing up that little coffin with that little girl, you don't have to say any hesped. Everyone was crying, bitter tears. Poor Menashe and his wife lost a grandmother, lost a child, and now a second child. And there was a rabbi in our neighborhood, Rabbi Aryeh Ginsberg. Rabbi Aryeh Ginsberg has a daughter who was in Masha Miriam's class. And so he knew Masha Miriam. And he got up and he said this, in the name of the Chidah. And all of us will be able to see this in the piyutim that we say in Eila Eskara, which we say about the Asura Haruga Malchus on Musaf on Yom Kippur. Over there, it's described how Rabbi Shmuel Melech was tortured. And the surfing Mala Tzofu Gomorrah, the surfing Mala, the Malachim, they cried out with bitterness, Zu Torah v'Zuz Chara? This is the Torah, Rabbi Shmuel was such a tzaddik, and this is the reward? How did such a thing happen? And Hashem says, Om Sefas Kol B'Shamayim. A voice came out from Shemayim and said, Eshma Kol Acher, if I hear one more word, I'm going to bring the world to water, to emptiness. So the Chidah asks, the Malachim are allowed to ask the question, Zutari Mezuz Chara? Hashem doesn't want to answer, fine. He can say, listen, I don't want to give you an answer. I have a chesed. Fine, that's legitimate. What kind of an answer is this? If I hear one more word, then I'm going to bring the world back to Toyo Havoya. What does that mean? What's the answer to that question? And the Chidah gives a tremendous answer that we should take with us for the rest of our lives. The Chidah gives a beautiful mashal. He tells a mashal about a king who wanted to have the most magnificent suit made. He called the tailor, but he hated the tailor because the tailor was a Jew. But he knew that this tailor was the best tailor in the country. So he says to the tailor, listen, I need a magnificent suit made. And the tailor said, Your Honor, I'll do whatever you need. Just give me this and this amount of material, and I'll be happy to do it. And so sure enough, the king gets him the material, and a few weeks later, the tailor comes back, and the king puts on the suit, and he looks fabulous. It's a tremendous looking suit. And everybody is praising the king at how he looks. The queen walks in. She has to admit the king looks great. But she goes over to the king because she hated Jews more than he did. And he says, and she says to him, you know that tailor is a gunner. He's a robber. So what do you mean? He said, of course he made you a beautiful suit. You know how much material you gave him? You gave him so much material. He didn't use it all for the suit. He used some of it for the suit. He took him in a nice suit. But the rest of it he kept for himself. He's a gunner. And the king says, you know something? You're right. I didn't even think of that.
And he calls in the tailor and says, excuse me, you have done it. I gave you so much material tacking, you made a nice suit. Well, where's the rest of it? He says, Your Honor, do me a favor. Go into the other room, change into another suit of clothing, and then come out. I want to show you something. So the king comes out, he's wearing his old suit, and now they bring the suit, they take it out on the table, and he starts cutting it up. He says, what are you doing? He says, wait a second, I want to show you something. And he starts showing him how the lapels are doubled, and the cuffs are tripled, and the pockets are triple lined, and he takes apart the whole suit. It's his measuring the material, it's all there. And the king says, yeah, but you ruined the suit. He says, yeah, but now you understand the answer. He says, that's what the Eibishter was saying. The Eibishter said to the Malachim, how dare you ask me this question? If I hear one more word, I'll bring back the world. I'll bring it back to the beginning of what the world was. You're only here for a short time. You don't know the whole cheshbon. We are only here in this world 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. How can a person ask a question if they're only here for such a short time? And that's what we have to know. That many times we ask a question. It's like somebody coming into a shir in the middle of the shir, and he's asking the Rebbe a kasha. And the Rebbe says, excuse me, you walked in the middle of the shir, you can't ask a kasha. You weren't here from the beginning. The Chofetz Chaim says a pshat that you can almost say is adorable. The Chofetz Chaim says, we all know this pasuk in Ashrei, Shemir Hashem es kol ha'yavov v'es kol ha'rishayim yashmi. Hashem watches all who he loves and all the Rishayim he gets rid of. Imagine a guy walks in late. Listen to what he hears in the shul. Eskol Yavov, v'eskol Rishayim Yashmi. All who he loves and all who he hates, all the Rishayim he's getting rid of. Excuse me, sir. Gosh, why are you doing that? Excuse me, sir. You walked in late. You didn't hear the first part. And what about the guy who leaves early? Shemir Hashem eskol Yavov, eskol Rishayim. That's what he hears. Right? That Hashem watches all who he loves and all the Rishayim. Hashem, how could you do that? Excuse me, sir. You didn't live long enough to find out the end of the show. And that's what the answer is. That many times when we ask how could certain things happen to ourselves, the answer is we don't know the whole plan. Part of tshuva, part of insight, is to learn to have that emuna and that betochen. I want to share with you one of the most incredible stories I ever heard. I heard it this past summer in Camp Monk. I was sitting with our mutual Rebbe, Rav David Cohen. And Rav Nossi Muller, who is now the Menahel of Teres Emes, told this story. What happened the first Shabbos that the Kloisenberger Rebbe was out of the concentration camps. He was taken to a DP camp in a place called Felderfing. Felderfing was near Munich. All the Yidden that were put into that camp, many of them were so broken and bitter and angry, as we can understand. The Rebbe wanted to make Shabbos. It was Friday afternoon. So he said in his Hasidic accent, Megay Tfira Shabbos. We're going to make Shabbos. And there was a makeshift shul. Many people came. Most of the people didn't come. And then the Rebbe, he wanted people that at least maybe they'll come to the food. So he said that they're going to have something warm, that they're going to have chold on Shabbos. First time, when did they ever have chold in the concentration camps? Somebody had some beans, somebody got some potatoes, and they cooked it up. And wouldn't you know, 5 minutes before Shabbos, one Yid who was never so angry took a dead animal and plucked it right into the pot of the chold. So he draped it up, and of course the Rebbe didn't lose himself. The Rebbe came to the meal knowing that they were not going to have the chold tomorrow. And then all was sitting around the table, most of them without yarmulkes. There was a white paper tablecloth that was on the table. And then the Rebbe started singing Shom Aleichem. First time he's singing Shom Aleichem out loud in years. And he's crying. He's welcoming the Malachim, not the Malchi Amavas that were there all these years, but the Heavenly Malachim. Shom Aleichem, and Boyacham L'Shalom, and Baruchuni L'Shalom, and Tzitzkam L'Shalom. And then he says one of the most moving tefillahs. You have to see this tefillah, those of you who don't say it, or if it's not said in your home, it's a great tefillah to say Friday night. I find it to be one of the most moving tefillahs that Klal Yisrael has. And that's the Ribboin Kolei Lamin. Ribboin Kolei Lamin, the Rebbe starts saying, and he's crying, I don't kill the neshamas. You're the master of all the neshamas. And he starts singing with the Nigi, the English Testament of the Mama, the Tata, for all the Neshamas, the master of all the Neshamas. And he's thinking of all the Neshamas that were lost. Never, he lost his wife and 11 children. And he's saying, Moed Ani Lefanecha. Moed Ani Lefanecha, I say thank you to you. All the chesed that you did with me, and all the people are looking at him. What is this man saying? What chesed? He lost his wife, he lost his children. What chesed is he talking about? And then he said, Mashiach, oh, submit closet to me. Be confident, basically. All the chesed that you're going to do for me in the future. And then he's crying. And the Rebbe says, oh, no, Melech, Malchi, Malchim, Hashem, you are the king of all kings. Tzare, the Malachech, Malchi, Hashem, command your Malachim. Mishur, Sayel, Yer, Shadif, Kiduni, Berachimim. That they should remember me with compassion. And listen to what he says. Those of you who know the tefillah know that normally it says, Ki hiblakti meyroisai, because I lit my candles, mehitzati mitosi, and I set my bed. And the Rebbe starts crying and he says, Hi, Rebbe Shefa, Holy Creator, is the fakir. I say just the opposite. Ki hiblakti mitosi, disrupted my bed, you killed all my family, but I want to say again with the tefillah, Ki hitzati meyroisai, that I'm going to set the candles. The Ner Hashem is in the shell of a person, and even though that you ruined and you murdered my family, I'm still saying with you that I trust in you and I have faith in you. Keep talking, you know, it's like, I'm going to set up candles, I'm going to build a new family, I'm going to set people up together again. And all the people are standing around, and they're crying, and they can't believe that the Rebbe can say, Keep talking, Tossi. The day you should burn this family, and yet, and all the people there, they started crying, the men, and they started ripping off the tablecloth, and they started putting the alabas on. And many, many people said that they came back to Yiddishkeit because of that feeling, because of that one Shabbos, because they saw the betochen of a man who went through the hell in this world. And still a person can say, Kihi tzati neroisai. I'm still going to build my family. And I'm still going to build the neshamas of Baal Yisrael. And that's what emunah is. And that's what betochen is. Emunah means that we believe there's a Rabbeinu Shalom. And betochen means we have faith that there's a master plan. The tshuva that we have to do this year is not to be broken. It's very easy to be broken today. You take a look at the world. So much finster and tzaras all around. A person could be broken. There's no hope. What's going on in Eretz Yisrael? What's going on in our own lives? At every shul, at every chassid surprise, such finster of machlokes. What awful chilul Hashem! Where does machlokes going to stop? And we think, how's it going to stop? It's so awful. It should never be that way. And now we cannot lose ourselves. We have to understand that everything that happens happens for a reason. It's the young man that we have to learn from it. Tell you an amazing thing. What happened with me personally, when I was 21, many of you know my father was very sick. He never had yet a machla. And I went to Washington Heights to be Shabbos for Rav Shimon Schwab. My father had learned in Eretz Yisrael when Rav Schwab was a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael before he came to Washington Heights. So my father and Rav Schwab were very close. My brother Rav Kalman and I, we were by Rav Schwab for Shabbos. And after Musaf, I went to the hospital and I came back to eat the suit of Rav Schwab. And Rav Schwab says to me, how's your father? And I said, I have a betochen that he'll be well. And he got very stern with me. And he said, betochen does not mean that your father's going to get better. Betochen means that Hashem has a master plan, and hopefully one day you'll be able to live with it and understand it. And a few weeks later, my father passed away. And I learned a great lesson. Betochen doesn't mean that everything good happens. Bad things happen. But we have to be strong. Hashem has a master plan. That's what betochen is all about. That no matter what matzav a person is in, whether they're single, or whether they're waiting to have a child, or whether they lost their job, right now that's what Hashem wants. Doesn't mean it can't get better. Of course it's going to get better. Well, that person will daven, we'll all daven for you, and everybody will daven, and we'll care for each other. But a person shouldn't be broken. There's a master plan. That's what the talking is about. That's what the tshuva inward is. That we don't give up, and we don't let any situation get the best of us. And that's what I mentioned. when we spoke at the Chofetz Chaim on the Tisha B'Av video, that Rav Mordechai Schwab, when he was visited by Rav Zev Smith up here in Brooklyn, and Rav Mordechai Schwab was very sick already, and he said he couldn't learn anymore, and he couldn't daven anymore. He said, Rav Echlev Simcha. You know why he said he lives with simcha and lives happiness? Chayim B'Tzayim. This is what Hashem wanted. He didn't want to get sick, but Hashem made him sick. That's what you want, Hashem? I'm okay with it. Of course I would love to learn. Of course I would love to daven. But Rav Mordechai Schwab says, Hashem, you don't want me to be able to learn and daven? You're the one who made me happy that way. I didn't do it myself. That's what you want? I'm okay with it. That's how we have to look at life. We go through difficult matzavim, whatever failure, as long as you try, and still you fail, Hashem, I'm okay with it. That's what you want? I'll pick up my bootstraps, I'm going to daven, I'm going to try to make it better, but I'm not going to be broken, because that's what you want for me right now. And that's how we have to look at it. And perhaps one of the ways that we can learn this tshuva inside. My brother used to do it with his children. My brother Abdullah used to have that every night the kid would write down, every child would write down something that happened b'hashgacha pratis that day. And many, many things happen to us. You're driving this way, and then you decide, you know what, I'm going to go on this other highway. Then you listen to News Radio 88, and you find out, you know something, there was an accident on that highway. Why didn't you go? I don't know, I just thought I was going to go on a different highway. So that was hashgacha. Or you decide you're going to dive in one shul, I'm going to dive in another shul. Happened to me yesterday. I was going to go to one shul, I said, you know what, I'm going to learn better. I'll dive in a little bit, a half hour later, I'll go to another shul. I met somebody special, such a wonderful person, I went to my house. We became such good friends. Never would happen, hashgacha. If you start writing down one thing a day that happened by Shkoshah Pratis, all of a sudden you begin to realize that Hashem is there in your life. But you know something? It's very important to remember that you can't just have betochen and sit back and do nothing. Rav Shlomo Volbo writes in Alei Shur, in Chelek Beis, on page Tov Kuf Tzadik Zayin, 597, he says, "Bechol dra'echa da'eyu." In everything that you do, you have to think, I'm only going to have mazel. It's only going to be successful if Hashem wants me to have success. But I've got to do something. You can't sit back and do nothing. And I want to tell you two things that I believe that we have to do. One thing, which I'm going to be talking about all over the place because I think it's so important. And that is, I believe every single chassan and kala, before they get married, they've got to have life insurance. Jewelry is not that important. They're 29 watches you need. This is not a $500 watch. And you know something? It tells the same time your watch does. And these cufflinks are not $85 cufflinks. And they're holding my sleeves together. How do you like that? And this is not a $155 tire. I think it's pretty nice. And so therefore jewelry and all those things that we give to Hasadim and Kabbalists are important to a limit. But you open up any newspaper, Yated, Amadiyah, every Jewish press, says, oh, why are they collecting for all these savings? You know why? Most of the time, people didn't buy life insurance. And I want to tell you what Rabbi Shish writes about life insurance. Be'in insurance, v'yeish b'zeh chasar, chas v'sholom, b'betochen, somebody says, oh, if I buy insurance, I don't have betochen. He writes, ein b'zeh shum chasarim b'betochen, Hashem Yisbarach, it's not a chasar and betochen. He says, it's like any business that a person has to provide for his family. She'odem loyrach she'reshoi alakab v'chuyit, v'asot v'zchah. A person has to provide for his family. Every chasan and kala, and there are many girls here that are going to get married. It's not too late yet. Make sure there's life insurance for the husband and for the wife. You have to buy tremendous policy. We got to be protected. And then we would save all this money that we're giving to all these collections. Today, of course, it's Rachmanis because they didn't have it. Another thing that I believe that we have to do as far as our inner tshuva, this organization is obviously incredible. We have to support it. I'm sure that all the functions that go on in this place cost money. You know, the Wallersteins, they don't charge anybody for anything. But it costs money to put this whole thing together. Not only this, the art classes and the music classes and the shiurim and the shabbatons and the trips. All these things. When a person is able to join Ornava, as you saw in the video, changes a life forever. want to tell you two more great organizations, and then we're going to talk about a different aspect. Tonight, or whenever you feel down, give a call to the Chazak line of the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. I'll give you the number, 718-258-2008. You want to have chizuk. You went through a difficult time. There are people on there that will tell you about the difficult time they went through, just like you went through. And you'll get chizuk from it. And you'll hear shiurim from many, many different rabbanim, from many wonderful women. Without a stop, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Of course, not Shabbos, obviously. People are listening to these lines, these Chazak lines of Chofetz Chaim, and they're getting chizuk. That's part of the tshuva. We have to do something. Can't just stand up and talk and say things are going to happen. Nothing happens by itself. Got to make the effort. Just like you've got to buy insurance, you got to go out and make that call, and you'll get the chizuk. And there's another great organization that I just got to know recently. And TorahAnytime.com, Rabbi Wallerstein, is very involved with it. I can tell you, when I was in Australia, I gave out those cards in Santiago, Chile. There are people all over the world that are watching over 2,500 shiurim by men, by women, all kinds of extraordinary Talmid Chachamim. You got to do something. And you can do something. And that's the tshuva of inward understanding as a master plan, not letting yourself get broken. Call the Chazak line, get involved with TorahAnytime.com, get involved with Ornava. And you do that, and then all of a sudden, when a difficult situation comes to your life, you're not going to be broken. We're not allowed to be broken. If there's Hashem Simcha in all situations, Chaim Yitzchayne is the way to live. That's his word. You know, the Gemara tells us that Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyah Mashiach. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, inside of Dalar Amid Aleph, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasa is Chizkiyah Mashiach. Hashem was going to make Chizkiyah Mashiach. He won a great war. But Omer Midas Adin Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, the Midas Adin said in front of Hashem, Dalar Amid Aleph said so many praises to you, and you didn't make a Mashiach. How can you make Chizkiyah Mashiach? He didn't say he didn't have a Karas Atoi. He didn't say thank you enough to Hashem. He didn't give all those shiras with his prophets. So in other words, Mashiach is not coming because of a chasara in peh. That's what my Rebbe Rav David Cohen pointed out. Why did the Chofetz Chaim, why was he always talking about shiras and lashon? Because as Rabbi Mansur mentioned, the Chofetz Chaim says we are living in the Mashiach's time. How's it going to happen? You've got to be careful with the way we speak. That's why the same Chofetz Chaim that was involved with Mashiach is involved with the Indian of peh. And that was the chasara. That's why Mashiach didn't come. That's why Chizkiyah wasn't Mashiach. And I believe that one of the things that we have to do tshuva, we have to start focusing on the positive and saying thank you to Hashem. You know what the pasuk tells us? Peacefully, Shireh Tzedek, Ovoi Vom Oigeh Tor. Open up for me the gates of righteousness, the shuls, the batik nesiyos. I'm going to come there and I'm going to say thank you. And Shemanesha stopped for a minute and said, thank you, Hashem, for Ornava. How many people ever stop for Hashem and say, thank you for your spouse? Now, it might be a problem, but most of us, it's okay. You ever thank Hashem that you have kids? You ever thank Hashem that you have a job? That you have a house? That you live in Brooklyn and you can come to a kiddush like this? I can't imagine, except for your Shalom, a kiddush like this, any place in the whole world. Tomorrow, I think we have to start concentrating more on Leibim than on Shema Kaleinu. We're always talking about what we're missing. What about what you have? I think that we have to begin concentrating on Leibim. Make a list of all the wonderful things that you have in life. Whether it's a spouse, a child, a grandchild, a house, a business, friends, relatives. Some of them are really nice. Thank Hashem for them. Really. And then all of a sudden Hashem sees, wait a second, I want to give this person a lot of my things. They're grateful to me. That's what the pasuk tells us. Zeveach toni yechavdonini. An extra letter in that pasuk. You know why? Because Hashem says, my favorite carpet is when people say thank you. One of my favorite stories about this little cheap kid who comes into a food store. So the mother takes him into the food store. So the man behind the counter gives the kid a banana. So the mother says, what two words do you say to the nice man behind the counter? Kid says, peel it. The kid never heard thank you in his life. So listen to this story. Listen to this story. This story I heard from Hananya Pollack. Hananya Pollack is one of the most incredible people in Eretz Yisrael today. He runs an organization called Ezer Mitzrayim. Ezer Mitzrayim is a medical organization that has 20 offices throughout Eretz Yisrael. Any medical problem that a person has, call one of their offices. They have blood drives and bone marrow drives, and they can tell you about every doctor, and they can tell you about every medication, and they help people fund for medications and get advice from doctors and a second opinion. Phenomenal organization. So Hananya tells me that about a year and a half ago, a fellow, a very wealthy fellow, comes from a different country, and he's coming to Eretz Yisrael, and he wants to meet Hananya, and he wants to give money to the organization. So he said, okay, fine, we'll meet in the Yerushalayim office. They come to the Yerushalayim office after the whole meeting. Hananya says to him, listen, if you don't come to Eretz Yisrael that often, how about we go to the Kaisel to daven higher? He said, good, that's a nice idea. Fine. They go to the Kaisel, and those of us who have been to the Kaisel at night, you know, with the orange lights, the whole plaza, it's just covered with such a beautiful serenity. It's so magnificent to daven at the Kaisel at night. I try every time I go to Eretz Yisrael, the first time that I daven at the Kaisel should be at night. It's just something so special to me at night by the Kaisel. So these two fellows, Hanani and this wealthy fellow, they're walking down the plaza and they're walking towards the Kaisel. It's a quiet night and they can hear how a guy is standing by the Kaisel and he's davening and he's crying and he's holding it, looks like a tilam, and he's moving with his hands and his hands are out and he's just beside himself. And these two guys, they stand, they open mouth, they never saw anybody daven like that. And finally, Hanani turns to this wealthy fellow and says, you ever see a guy daven like that? He says, let's go over there. Whatever he needs, we can help him. If it's medical, I'll help him. If it's financial, you can help him. The guy says, you know something, you're right. Let's go over there. We got a cover. Fine, they wait till it finishes, and they go over to him. They said, Abid, we'd love to help you. What's wrong? He says, no, everything's fine. I said, no, you don't know who I am. My name's Hananya Pollack. I'm from Ezer Mitzrayim. Any medical problem you and your family have, just tell me. I'll do anything. But I never saw anybody babble like that. You mamish touch my heart. And if it's finances, this gentleman, he'll help you. He says, no, I'm telling you, everything's fine. He says, look, if everything's fine, tell me how in the world should you be talking like that? We never saw anybody talking like that. Listen to what he says. He says, last night, my wife and I, we married off our youngest child, our 10th child. Tonight, I came to the Kaisel to say thank you, Hashem. You imagine? That's how a person davens, to say thank you? Tshuva, tshuva, tshuva is awful. I think the tshuva that we have to do this year is to begin focusing on all the wonderful things that we have in life. Oh, of course, we're in Golos. Nobody gets away scot-free. Every single person in this room is challenged. Every one of us faces challenges. And I'm telling you, even if you're sitting next to somebody and that person looks like a happy-go-lucky person, nothing is wrong. Believe me, you just don't know the whole truth. It's true. We all know it's true. Because it's godless. There's a hester upon it. Only when Mashiach comes is everybody going to have it so special and so rosy and everything will be wonderful. But right now, everybody has problems. So just because you don't know their problems doesn't mean that they don't have it. There's a lot of suffering going on out there. So don't be jealous about what anybody else has. Just look at your life and focus on the positive. And I'll just end this segment of the talk again with a fabulous quote from the Pleasant Regular Rebbe. They once asked the Rebbe, they said, Rebbe, how could it be that so many people who went through the Holocaust, that they were able to build their lives, and today we see children, grandchildren, and even in this audience, great-grandchildren of Holocaust survivors. And the Rebbe said the answer is, B'damaya chayi. B'damaya chayi. Everybody's wondering, what do you mean, B'damaya chayi? You say it by a bris, you say it the night of Pesach, by the Haggadah. B'damaya chayi, you say it by the Haggadah, because the Yidin, the Shecht, the Avodah Zarah of the Goyim, and there was blood when you Shecht. And who knows, that was a big, mysterious event. They could have been killed. The Mitzrayim could have been getting angry. But with the Maya, even though they shared what Chayi they lived, that is close. Because it was the Korban Pesach. By Bris Milah, that night, all the men had to have a bris. With the Maya Chayi, even though that when they have a bris, especially for all the people, there's more blood, obviously. Still, they had mysterious nefesh. With the Maya, they had what Chayi they still lived. What's it got to do with the carrots? The kasha was, how did these people survive? Listen to what he said in this genius way. He said, B'damayach doesn't only mean in your blood,
when Aaron lost his child, the pasuk in Vayikra, Yud Pasuk Gimel, tells us, Vayidai Aaron. Aaron was quiet. Aaron was quiet. Bidamayim. In the quietness, Chayim, people live. In other words, not focusing on the negative. Of course, those people that were sitting around the table by the Klausenberger Rebbe, and many, many people who go through difficulties in life, say, listen, Hashem, if that's what you got in store for me, I'm out of here. No, don't focus on the negative. Bidamayim, and your quietness, Chayim, is the Kevin Levin. You want to live a life of happiness? You want to live a life of connection? Focus on the positive. So we've spoken about tshuva inward. We've spoken about tefillah upward. Let me tell you about outward. You know, there's a very interesting pasuk. The pasuk is when Klal Yisrael was being counted, you're not allowed to count Yivim Chas V'Shalom to be an Ayin Haaretz, so they have to get a Matzitz HaShekel. So the pasuk in Shema Yisrael and pasuk in base tells us V'Nosnu, and they should give. Now V'Nosnu, you can read it back and forth. Vav, Nun, Tav, Nun, Vav. Does anybody know what those words are called that you can read back and forth? Palindrome. A palindrome, you can read it frontwards and backwards. So the Balaturim says on this pasuk, Im Tigroeno Mashreya, if you read it backwards, Gam Ken V'Nosnu. It's also V'Nosnu. You know what I'm coming to teach you? Masha Odom Noisin L'Tztoka, Yahzirelo. That which you give to Tztoka is going to come back to you. When you are a Noisin, you're going to be a Makabo. Don't think that if you give time to somebody, or if you give chizuk to somebody, or if you give of your talent, or if you give of your money, it's a lost cause. Just the opposite. Hashem watches. And Hashem is going to make sure the nosnu is going to come back to you. A lot of words in the English language, and in the Hebrew language, that are palindromes. David, Dalet, Vav, Dalet, Yishai. It's incredible to me that David and his father Yishai were both palindromes. I don't know what it means. But the idea is, you know, mom, dad, my daughter Aviva. I remember one time I was in Eretz Yisrael, they asked me to speak for second graders. I can't speak for second graders, but they were accepting my grandson into the yeshiva, so you know, they had me over the barrel, so I had to speak. So okay, fine, so I come inside and I start talking about Stoka, and I say to the kids, V'noslu is a palindrome, I don't know how to say palindrome in Hebrew. So one little kid prays in and he said, Rebbe, Hashem Shalim is a gumkin palindrome. I said, Yuri, what's your name? He says, Yitzik, Yud Tzadik Yud. You know, we're all looking for kapara. That's what we're looking for on Yom Kippur. And there's a very interesting always throughout Nosser, Perigal Mishneh. It tells us a Rebbe from the Zaka was once walking outside Yerushalayim. And he was walking with his Talmud Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Yeshua said, look, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Where are we going to get kapara? How are we going to get forgiveness now that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed? And this is what the Rebbe said. B'ni, my kid, Al Yeira Allah, don't be worried. Yeshuanu kapara acha shehika moisa. I'm going to give you a kapara. I can show you a kapara that's just as good as having the Beis HaMikdash. The Ezezel, what is that? Gemilas Chasadim. Outward. Giving to other people. Shenam Tichas is Chofas Yivoloi Zobach. Of course it's said that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but we can all get kapara this Yom Kippur. Make it your business from tonight on. That you're going to start being a giving person. That you're going to do a chesed a day and keep a notebook of it. Every night, write down at least one chesed you give to somebody else. I guarantee you, you'll be a different person. I guarantee you, great things will happen to you. It's not my guarantee. David HaMelech said, Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem is your shadow. You give to others, others will give to you. You know, I remember a number of years ago, I had the great chutzpah to be in Manchester. It's a wonderful woman there. Her name is Rebbe Tzachami Wachshah. Never, she has MS. She can't walk anymore. She's in a wheelchair. A brilliant woman. Many, many people, always, they're always coming to her shiurim. So they asked me to go and to speak to her. I didn't know who she was. Okay, fine, but, you know, a woman in a wheelchair, how could you say no? Fine, so I go inside, I'm talking to her. She says to me, she says, Rabbi Cohen, I'm writing a book, and I need you to write a letter for me. I said, listen, you know, I can't write a letter. You know, you gotta have a big Talmud Chacham to write a letter. Who am I to write a letter for you? She says, no, I know you're talented in your book. It's gonna be very special to make you write a letter. So how do you say no to a lady in a wheelchair, especially all, you know, there's a whole bunch of women sitting around? So I figured, I know how I'm gonna say no. I said, listen, you know, I gotta go into speakers. So I'll tell you what, why don't you send me the manuscript to New York, to my house? I'll read it, and then if I like it, I'll send you a letter. So I figured, you know, over the telephone, you know, 13,000 miles away or whatever, New York is from London, or from Manchester, you know, I'll be able to say no.
She sends me the manuscript. After I finished crying, and after my heart was so taken by that book, I called her up. I said, "Reverend, I would be honored if you would allow me even to write a letter for such a hated Sefer. It's not a Sefer, it's not a book, it's a Sefer Kodesh. And there's one sentence in there that to me is worth the whole book. It's worth the whole book. Listen to this fabulous sentence." She got it from some secular source someplace, and it says like this. "Anyone," actually it says any fool, but "anyone can count the seeds in one apple. But only the highest power, Hashem, can count the apples in one seed." And that's fabulous. Anyone can count the seeds in one apple. You open up an apple, you don't gotta make a big coffin to see how many seeds there are. But only Hashem himself knows how many apples there are in one seed. When you plant the seed of chizuk, you call somebody before Yom Kippur. Call an almona. Call somebody who lost his business. Somebody who's out of a job. And just tell them, "How are you managing? How are you doing? I'm thinking about you. I'm going to be davening for you." And you mean it sincerely. Believe me, those people will never, ever forget that call. And that's one of the things you've got to do with you now in Yom Kippur. You got to go through your telephone book tonight. And you got to look at all the lonely people. And all the broken people, all the people who don't have what you have, call them. It's a 5-minute call. Give them chizuk. Make them feel special. Tell them something nice. Rekindle that friendship. That's what being a giving person is all about. That's what seeds are all about. You know, tomorrow night I'm going to Detroit. In Detroit, there were two fabulous mechanchim. They're both already in the middle of Emes. Rav Shalom Goldstein and Rav Avraham Abba Friedman. They were Torah Das boys, right here in Brooklyn. Then they went out to Detroit. Rav Shraga Feivel told them to go out and start a day school. And they started the Beis Yehuda school. So listen to this, you won't believe what happened. They were there for quite a few years, and then there was one little boy, kid came from Columbus, Ohio. He wasn't from money, his parents sent him to Beis Yehuda, and he was supposed to have a bar mitzvah. So he was gonna go back to Columbus to have the bar mitzvah. So it's a big schlep from Detroit, Michigan, to go to Columbus, Ohio. But these two rabbis, they decided they're going to go. They went, and they spoke, and they gave such cover to this little kid, and they danced, and they were made such tremendous Kiddush Shem Shemayim. There was one little boy that was this bar mitzvah boy's friend. He was a Ben Yochid. His parents were never going to send him out of town. But he could not get over. Look at these rabbis. They gave him so much praise, such wonderful people, how they sang and they danced. He was so enamored by them. After the rabbanim went back to Detroit, and after this kid goes back to school, this little boy goes over to his conservative rabbi. He says, "You know, I'd like to be like those rabbis." He says, "What are you talking to me?" He's conservative, right? But he saw that there was a nitzitz. There was a flame of sincerity in this child. So he got him involved with the Orthodox rabbi. And that summer, Rabbi Yechiel London, who had a camp, he came to Columbus, Ohio, and he was looking for boys. And the Orthodox rabbi said, "You know, I have a boy here for you. I don't think that his mother will ever send him to a yeshiva out of town, but she might send him to a camp." And sure enough, the boy went to camp. And there were three people. Many of you will know the names, and I want to mention those names because of what the effect they had on this kid. Rav Shneur Eisenstock, who was the head of the Beis Yaakov in Montreal for many years. Rav Chaim Dressler, who was Rosh Hashiva in Scranton. And Dov Wallowitz, who's a tremendous Baltzok in Lawrence. Those three were in that camp. They had such a hashpah on this child. This child went back to Columbus, told his parents he wants to go to yeshiva. Eventually, the boy ended up in Lakewood, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and today a very prominent philanthropic person, all because Avraham Abba Friedman and Shalom Goldstein went and they planted a seed. Now that puppy, the boy never went back to yeshiva. He finished the term, he became not true, nothing. But they went and they planted a seed of farm cake. And look what happened to it. I want to tell you what it means when you give. You know, I can't believe that this kid told this story at his own shadow brachas in Mir just a few months ago. Young fellow got married, and at the shadow brachas, he's telling over. He says he wants to say the turning point in his life. And he tells a story that happened when he was in the fifth grade. He says, "I was in the fifth grade, and there was a boy in Naftali who came into the class,
And he had the most expensive watch. Now, his mother had told him not to bring the watch to school because she was sure he was going to lose it or break it. But the kid didn't listen and wanted to show up with the watch. So he's showing everybody the watch. And then when it came time for recess, so he knew very well, if he takes it out, he plays ball, and the watch breaks, his mother will kill him. So he left it on the desk. Comes back after recess, the watch is gone. Naftali goes over to the baby, he's crying, baby, please, you gotta help me, my mother will kill me. She told me not to take the watch, and I took it, now I don't have it. Now, it just happened to be that the Rebbe, that day, normally he went outside with the boys for recess. That day, he was standing by the door. He didn't go outside. So there was no Goyish custodian that could have come in to take it. And there was no boy from another class that could have come in to take it because the Rebbe saw nobody. So it had to be somebody from the class. So the Rebbe waits till everybody sits down. He says, Rabbeisai, Naftali's missing his watch. Now it happens. He says that sometimes somebody takes something by mistake. They thought it was theirs. So please, everybody, check your pockets. And if by mistake you took the watch, just bring it up to the desk. He was giving them a pistol and pepper. Nobody moved. The Rebbe said, "Oh, wait, son. Look, I don't want to do what I'm going to have to do. I don't want to check everybody's pockets. But, you know, I understand that happens. You know, maybe you just wanted to pick up the watch. You wanted to look at it. Then you were running outside to play. So you stuck it in your pocket by mistake. And these things happen. If anybody has the watch, please bring it up." Nobody moved. The Rebbe said, "I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to do what I have to do." And he lined up all the boys against the blackboard. Everybody held up their hands against the board, right? And the boy Rebbe is going through the pockets. The chassid who's talking says, by the third boy, the Rebbe had the watch. Of course, he was the third boy. But the Rebbe didn't stop there. The Rebbe went through everyone's pockets, every boy of the 20 boys. And then after the 20th boy, he said, Rabbi said, you could all sit down because I have the watch. And the chassid said, I knew very well the Rebbe knew that I took it. And so I looked at him as I was walking to my seat, and he wasn't even looking at me. Because he didn't want that anybody should even think that it was me who did it. So when I realized what the Rebbe did, I decided, I swore to myself, one day I'm going to be like him. Because that Rebbe gave him dignity. And that Rebbe gave him covet. The Rebbe could have slaughtered him. The Rebbe could have been angry. He gave everybody opportunity to admit. But the Rebbe gave of himself. He took extra time to think, how am I going to get this watch but not make anybody feel like a schmuck? And when you give, and when you give covet, and you give recognition, that's what the Eibishter is going to give you back. That's outward. And I'll tell you one more great story. Listen to this, amazing. This famous speaker, for whatever reason, he doesn't want to say his name. Okay, I'll honor that. So this speaker was called to speak at a 10th anniversary dinner of a famous yeshiva. And they begged, it was a beis yaakov rather, and they begged him, please come, it was 3 hours from his house. Now 3 hours is a problem, why? Because if it's an hour, good, it's an easy drive. If it's 5 hours, you take the plane. 3 hours are like in between. So he's going to have to schlep and drive up there. He didn't want to go, they said, no, please, it's a 10th anniversary, and he's such a famous guy, we'll put your name on the invitation, everybody will come, it'll be just wonderful. It'll be a big piece of private school. Okay, he agreed. The dinner was supposed to be on a Thursday night. The week of the dinner, that Tuesday, he came out of the hospital. He was sick for a full week with pneumonia. So his wife says to him, you're not going up there. You're going to schlub 3 hours. You were sick. You get in the back of the hospital. It's raining. It's cold. It's wind. It's awful. He said, look, I got to go. I made a commitment. She says, don't worry. I'll call. Wednesday, she calls. And she speaks to the assistant principal in the school. She says, listen, I'm just so sorry, but my husband is not well. He just got out of the hospital from pneumonia, and he's just not going to be able to make it. And the assistant principal says, what are you talking about? His name is on the invitation. There's 1 people coming to the dinner. It'll be a chilul shem if he doesn't come. He's got to come. And she hangs up the phone. So the Rebbitzin goes to her husband. She says, did you hear how she spoke? For such a person, you're going to go? And she says, it's going to be a chilul Hashem if you don't come. And she makes you feel like, he said, oh, if she said it's a chilul Hashem that I wouldn't come, I have to go. I'm going, I'll hire a taxi, and I'm going. And he goes. And he told me, I spoke to him personally, and he told me that after he was already introduced, he's walking up. This is what he thought of. He says, Rabbi Isa, before I tell you my prepared text and my prepared speech, I want to tell you why I am here tonight. He says, you see, I was in the hospital for a week with pneumonia. And
My wife said to me, you cannot go to this place, you'll get sick. And I said, well, you're going to have to make a commitment. She said, don't worry, I'll call the school. So my wife called the school and she spoke to the assistant principal. And when the assistant principal heard what my wife said, she said, oh, don't worry. The main thing is your husband should have a fresh lineup. Let him be gesund. Give him some tea. It's not a problem. These things happen. We understand. We'll invite him some other time. There's plenty of dignitaries. And when I heard that she was so fine and so able, I decided for such a lady, I'm going to come. And everybody got up and gave her a standing ovation. And she couldn't even look at him. He tells me Friday afternoon, 5 minutes before Shabbos, the assistant principal calls him. She says, I want you to know I dialed the phone today 10 times. And every time you were about to pick it up, I hung up. I just couldn't even place you on the phone. But I have to tell you before Shabbos, I can't thank you enough for the mercy you gave me and the way you gave it to me. I was wrong. I shouldn't have spoken like that. But you know, the day before the dinner, it was such a lot, it was such pressure, but I never should have spoken that way. And I'm sorry, and please tell your wife, I apologize. And really, the standing ovation that I got, you deserve. That's called giving cover and dignity. The man didn't have to say that. The man didn't have to go out of his way to give the Muslim in such a way that she would get the message in a dignified way and not wipe her away. All of us have relationships, whether it's with a spouse, with a child, with a co-worker, with a fellow member in a shul, a fellow member in an organization. Nobody's perfect. And sometimes you have to criticize. But there's a way to criticize. You know how you should criticize? The way you would like to be criticized. That's the judge. That's the litmus test. How would you like to be criticized? That's what Venosnu is all about. So tonight, when we think about tshuva, tefillah, and stuff, let's think inward. Let's remember to have that betocha, never to be broken. Let's understand that there's a master plan. There's a master plan out there. Chaim returning. We have to live the simcha. We're not here long enough to understand the whole thing that happens. Let's not be broken. Things will get better. You'll daven. Others will daven for you. And because some things will get better. But not to be broken. That's what Rav Schwab tells us. That's what the betochen is all about. That's what the Kloisenberg would have if he could say, ki hiblakti mitosi. But still, mitzati neroisai. I'm still going to build my family. I'm still going to build Klal Yisrael. If he's not broken, we shouldn't be broken. Let's remember upward. Upward means, let's thank Hashem. Let's concentrate on Moedim. Let Moedim take more time to Shema Kaleinu. And finally, Venosnu. Let's become giving people. Giving kovod. Giving derecherets. I want to tell you something that I thought about yesterday in davening. Yes, sir, in the middle of davening. I was davening the part of Ezra, right before Shabbos, right before the Shemay Ezra. And I was thinking about, I don't know what made me think about this, but, you know, there's a very interesting expression, never occurred to me before. It's actually poetry. V'yamshos lahem okato, v'zedim tibato, v'yedidim hevarto. So v'yamshos lahem okato, you split the answer for them. V'zedim tibato, and the sinners you drowned. But here's my new organization. Nobody has to be, you know, no official membership, but we should all be in this brigade. Vididim Havarta. You know what Vididim Havarta means? The dear ones you brought across. That's what we say to Hashem. Vididim, the good friends in Klal Yisrael. Havarta, you got him through a difficult time. You got him through the opposite. Every one of us become part of this organization, Vididim Havarta. You know how you can become part of the organization? Get a notebook. And once a week, especially before Yom Kippur, call a couple of people that are going through a difficult time. Help them get through the difficult times. The difficult times will end. Positively. Mitz Hashem, they will end. But many times we need somebody to give us that chizuk. V'yedidim evarta. You got to get those friends. You got to get them to bring them across the difficult times. That's what giving is all about. Giving is not only money. I'm father, you got to give money. You got to give tzedakah. It's an Indian to give tzedakah every day before tefillah. Very important. But it's not only stuff, it's your time, it's your patience, and it's your listening. I just want to end with this magnificent story. There was a father that was running away with two children from a country, like a dictatorship type of country. And he was on this boat with many, many people.
And they knew that they had to get away. And they're running on this boat. The boat is going. And all of a sudden they can see about a quarter mile ahead. They can see the land where they're trying to run away to. And all of a sudden, because there were so many people on the boat begins to crack and it falls apart. And now everybody on this boat has got to swim to shore. And this one has got two little kinderlach. They can't swim. It's got to hold them. They can't swim a quarter mile. So the father is now in the water and he's holding both children. And he realizes he's just not going to make it. He can't make it holding both kids. It's impossible to swim when both kids are being held by the same man. And the father looks at his children and he says, "My dear children, I'm going to have to let one of you go. I feel terrible, but I have to let one of you go." And the younger one says, "Daddy, save the younger one. Save the baby." And the little one says, "No, Daddy, take the older one. No, it's okay, I'll go." And the father just broken. He doesn't know what in the world he's going to do. And he decides for whatever reason, he's going to save the older child. And as he's struggling in the water, and he's holding both children, and he's crying, and he says to the young one, "I feel so bad, but I have to let you go." And just as he's about to let her go, she cries out, she says, "Tata, please save me, don't let me go." And he grabs her, and with that extra burst of strength, he takes her and somehow he's able to manage, and he saves both kids, and he falls on the shore, and he collapses. And when he gets up, the little girl says to him, "Tati, I can't thank you enough. You saved my life." And he says to her, "I didn't save your life. You saved your life. I didn't have the strength to save you. But when you cried out to me that second time, I got a burst of strength that I didn't even know that I had. And I was able to pull you ashore." You know, we say L'Dovet Oiri throughout Elul, throughout Tesser Shemei Tshuva. And we say, we cry out twice. Why do we say it twice? And the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Beis Amud Beis tells us, if a person is davening and he didn't get the shidduch yet, and he didn't get the charity, and the kid is still out in the streets, daven a second time. You know why? Because maybe Kabbalah Davish doesn't have the strength to save the child or to do what you need right now. Because you don't have the school system, so Kabbalah doesn't have the strength. But if you daven, just like that little girl gave the strength to her father, we give the strength to our Father in heaven, that he should strength, that he should save us, and he should pull us through the difficult times. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. That's what Tshuva Tefillah Tzedakah is about. Inward, upward, outward. It's three-dimensional. But Kaveh Hashem, never stop davening. Never stop that connection. Maybe you should hope that with this great connection that we will make and this great kiddush L'Shem Shemaya, maybe you should help that all our tefillah should be answered with Toiv, and we should be zoicha to see Mashiach in our time. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.